Hello, and welcome to the Classic Car Weekly podcast, the weekly sibling podcast to the award-winning Classic Car newspaper. I'm this week's host, Chris Hope, features editor, and I'm joined by our editor, David Simister, and our content editor, James Peen. Gentlemen, good morning, and how are you both?
Good, yes. Enjoying a busy week. Lots of shows. You're right in the middle of the show season at the moment, so there's a lot for enthusiasts to look forward to at the moment.
Good, good. We'll kick things off as we usually do with a catch-up on our cars. James, I understand you've made some progress with your Beetle.
Yeah, rare progress for me. I buried my head in the sand in terms of registering it for a long, long time. So I've actually had the car for 6 years. And I know you're meant to register a car within so many months of it coming in. And because of that and thinking I was going to sell my car back to the Netherlands, I never really got around to it. And the longer it went until, the longer I left it. So eventually I sent my paperwork in. And the DVLA came back a couple of weeks later saying they wanted to inspect it, which kind of filled me with a bit of fear. But I've had it done before. And basically a chap came out of a clipboard, checked the chassis number, checked the engine number, checked the mileage. And then we spoke probably longer about his Ford Capri than we did actually doing anything else. And the upshot is I now have a registration document and I have number plates for my car. So it is fantastic. Actually registered as a historic vehicle in the UK now, which is pretty amazing for me.
So the most onerous thing was making sure that he had a coffee or a tea, was it?
Yeah, yeah. He was a really nice, pleasant chap, really super helpful. Said he'd get the stuff off straight away and all my paperwork should be through within 2 weeks. It was a week and a half. And the DVLA even returned all my paperwork I sent to them. So I got my heritage certificate back from Volkswagen and I'd included a stamped addressed envelope for them to do so in a nice letter. And they sent it all back in their own envelope anyway. So I've got a free stamp as well.
Excellent. Sounds like a win. Final steps before you get it on the road. I think there's some engine work you mentioned.
Yeah, it's making a bit of a racket when I start it now, which I think is an air leak. Hopefully it's an air leak from the exhaust the manifold for it. But trying to find one of those is a bit of a nightmare because it's a 30 horse Beetle size one rather than a 30 horse van size one. So, oh yeah, I'm looking at the moment, but I've not been able to find one other than a new one, which are out of stock at the moment. So that's the only sort of thing that's stopping me from driving at the moment.
Okay, cool. So you're going to stick with the engine that you've got. You're very happy with sort of the combination there.
We see I'm an idiot in that respect, because when I got the car, it had a working later 1300 engine in it, but because I wanted the correct 30 horse with a fixed pedestal, which is all Volkswagen geeky stuff, I tracked one down. It's a ex-industrial fire engine motor, so it used to pump water for a fire engine. It's got 200 hours runtime on it. I've converted all the stuff over to 12 volt, which is 6 volt size, but 12 volt internals. So finding bits for that is a bit of a nightmare. So I'm going to stick with it, even though it's the more difficult option.
Okay. Yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah. David, I believe your MX-5 is still resting for now. Do you want to tell listeners about the Tatton Park Classic and Performance Car Spectacular that you attended last weekend? Sounded like a good event.
Yeah, it was. It was a bit damp, but that's the great British weather for you. So I was at two different events over the course of the weekends. It was Tatton Park on Saturday, very good turnout, despite the weather, and a lot of very varied classics. And then on Sunday, I was at the Footman James Coffee and Chrome meet, which readers will be able to find out all about in next week's issue. But certainly with both of those events, really good turnout, and it was a very positive feeling sort of from both of them, really, from sort of the enthusiasts I spoke to as well.
Excellent. Tatton Park is an event that you can read about in this week's issue, though. So on sale today, Wednesday, 11th of June. My mini is much the same, having a bit of a rest after its mega sort of journey down to Brighton for the London to Brighton classic car run. The most exciting thing I've done with that is order some KNN air filter cleaner. I've not had aftermarket K&Ns on any of my cars since my very cars at first car, which was a Corsa C sort of thing. So I'm used to sort of having sort of OE sort of standard filters. So reminding myself that I'm going to need some sort of, it's like a aerosol cleaner that you sort of take off and sort of spray to remove the grub and grime sort of thing. So it's probably earned it as just a little mini reward sort of thing. And There's various other things that I need to look at. As I've sort of mentioned before, there's quite a few oil leaks that I'm going to have to attend to sooner rather than later. But for now, just giving it a little break sort of thing. So, yeah. We'll move on to some of the bigger news stories that you can find in this week's issue. And we've chosen to lead on the incredible response that the Federation of Historic Vehicle Clubs has seen for its National Historic Vehicle Survey. James, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those incredibly important things that everybody should have sort of replied to if they could. But the FBHVC runs this survey every 5 years. They started in 1997, and they use it to sort of collate all the data that they need to then present their arguments to whichever government is in charge at the time. It's one of those things that, legislation comes down from above, but if they can present an argument that's coherent and has the backing of everybody in the classic car scene, they can actually go back to the government and say, well, this is the thoughts of the scene in general. So David would say, admit that it's one of those things that is massively important, and you've covered it in the past before I came on board, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. This is all about taking the pulse of the classic car movement and using those findings to persuade the movers and the shakers in Westminster, if you like, and local councils, don't forget as well, to make sure they don't pass legislation which is going to hamper our movement. And the last survey showed that the historic vehicle movement in the UK is worth £7.2 billion a year to the UK economy. It supports more than 34,000 jobs, so it's a huge industry. And it's helped us in the past to secure things like rolling tax exemption. That's probably one of the big ones the Federation would highlight. It's also been a big case in putting sort of proving the case for MOT exemptions as well, if you use those. A lot of city centres which brought in emission charges. We've been able to say, well, historic vehicles are worth more than, it's worth having them in city centres for the very little pollution that they create compared in the bigger scheme of things. So it's a huge piece of work. And I know that when the results for this one come out, which should be sort of September, October time, again, those results will show just how big our hobby is, and more importantly, help prove the case to sort of the government in particular, that they want to basically listen to what our experts are telling them when they're drawing up legislation.
Yeah, so the survey is now closed. It closed on the 31st of May, but as a whole, the FBHVC was able to reveal that over 17,000 people responded to it, which should give some really sort of interesting sort of facts and figures, hopefully, sort of thing. So David mentioned that obviously 7.2 billion is what the historic vehicle sector as a whole contributes to the UK economy. Other sort of stats from the survey last year was not last year, the last survey, which took place in 2020. Was that there's approximately 1.5 million historic vehicles registered on the road, with the better part of 680,000 estimated owners. So there's more than a few of us around, sort of thing. And as James sort of points out, making the government aware of this, doing the legwork for them and pressing our case forward is key to sort of ensuring that we not only have the freedoms that we currently enjoy, but hopefully some potential sort of benefits going into the future as well. On some other news stories in this week's issue, David, you attended an event organised by the Historic and Classic Vehicles Alliance called Heritage Matters Day last week. Can you tell listeners about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, again, HCVA, like the Federation, are a very important body in our industry. It's they are very much the umbrella body for representing classic car specialists in the industry. So they do a lot of work. Again, this is about sort of talking to those in governments, different bodies and so on around the country to try and make sure that we're getting a better deal as well. And one of the really big things about this particular event is it was the first public facing event that the DVLA's new CEO has attended. So Tim Moss CVE, only sort of his post in March, and he used an event focusing on classic cars as his first kind of public outing, if you will. And he used it to talk about, there was a lot of talk during the event about them possibly, you know, there was a big call for evidence last year about how the DVLA handles cases involving classics, and there was a bit of oohing and aahing about whether they were going to, you know, share anything from that on that particular thing. But what they didn't do that, but what they did do was Tim Moss talked very warmly about how he sees the classic car movement. It's very unusual, certainly in the time I've worked in CCW, for anyone from the DVLA to talk quite as publicly about the strength of the classic car movement as Tim did. And he was someone who was saying that, you know, when he was young, he wanted an MGB GT. He's saying he would like to get an E-Type in his garage. I mean, who wouldn't at the end of the day? But yeah, it's nice to hear someone at the top of the DVLA saying that. And if anything, it tunes into what James, you were saying earlier about your friend who came to look at your Beetle. Yeah, these people in Swansea, they're not robots who are, just looking coldly at classic cars. A lot of them are enthusiasts as well, and it's actually quite reassuring to hear that the top dog at the DVLA is a bit of a classic car fan, which actually I think bodes quite well for any legislation that comes later in the year, actually hopefully being a bit more receptive to what we need. It's not going to be perfect by any stretch of the imagination. If they tried to respond to every single thing we'd asked for, we'd still be here in 2049. But I think they will give it the best shot they possibly can to make it easier to own and run a classic car in this country.
Okay. I mean, we mentioned James. He seems to have had a fairly positive experience with the DVLA. But do you think that Tim being at this event, this first public event, and speaking so warmly about classic cars, there's perhaps sort of an acknowledgement there that there are sort of enthusiasts that haven't had the best experience with the DVLA, and he's maybe attempting to put his best foot forward?
I think they've got that. Not only have they got that sense, I think they've actually got the data in front of them. The Department for Transport last year carried out this very big call for evidence, and they got more than 1,500 responses from that. And actually, that is some of those responses in themselves, including the one that was submitted by the FBHUC themselves, contained hundreds and hundreds more responses. So actually, they've got a really big good sense of the things that are bothering sort of classic car owners and specialists in the industry. And yeah, there have been problems in the past. Things like, you know, for example, Q plates being issued incorrectly. We've had lots of stories in the past in CCW about owners who've tried to get cars that they've restored back on the roads, and they've been really struggling to get these cars registered. Imported cars, that's another one. So if people have been importing cars from places like Hong Kong and South Africa and the States and so on, they need to get UK registrations on them because they haven't got all of the data that they need, the history and so on. They've had real problems getting these cars back on the road. So yeah, there has been a long-standing series of problems, and I think the problem is, I don't think it's anyone within the DVLA being particularly against classics. I just think that sometimes some of the policies they've had, you know, haven't really been flexible enough to understand the nuances of some of these cases. So obviously they deal with a lot of different cars, and what works for a two-year-old Ford Focus isn't necessarily going to work for a Mark II Jag, and I think that's where some of the problems have come up in the past.
Fair enough. But I mean, as you say, having someone who is sympathetic to our hobby, our cause, is hopefully going to mean that some of these frictions that have occurred in the past become less frequent, hopefully. But there was more to that event than just a DVLA presence. I see that you wrote about sort of a call for more sort of classic car work experience.
Yeah, again, this is quite, I mean, there's some really interesting, there's a whole day, it's not just the DVLA turned up, there were all sorts of experts talking about different things, and yeah, and certainly this was Starter Motor, the charity that's based out of Bicester Motion, and again, their remit is to try and get more youngsters sort of restoring, mucking about with classic cars, and they've said that one of the big things they would like to see is that specialists in our industry, the dealers, the restorers, the workshops, the trimmers, all of those people, the best way to get into this industry a lot of time is to give people work experience. Certainly, I wouldn't be doing the job I'm doing now if it wasn't for the fact that I got work experience at local paper nearly 25 years ago. So again, it's a hugely important part of giving people a sense of what it's like to work in our industry. And some of the other big topics that we looked at as well during that particular meeting last week was the HCVA looking to see if they can find out whether Brexit impacted classic car restorers, because obviously a lot of cars that are based in Europe, they come over here to have them restored because the UK's restoration expertise is second to none for a lot of these cars, particularly British ones. And there was lots of as well about synthetic petrol. So again, we've seen this being used at events like the Goodwood Revival and the members meeting, but what we haven't seen so much of is the likes of you and I actually using it in the real world to go to the shops then. And I think there's a lot of talk about how government policy is preventing that from becoming more of an everyday reality for enthusiasts who are actually just wanting to use their cars day to day.
Cool. And I mean, you were at that event, a public event, as you mentioned, attended by all sorts. Was the vibe, the general sort of feeling within the room quite positive about the classic car hobby as a whole?
I would say so, yeah. I think certainly, and this ties in with the survey that we've just been discussing as well. I think there's a feeling that particularly things like slipping prices as well are helping more enthusiasts to get into the hobby, to unlock cars that maybe 5 or 10 years ago might have been off bounds for them, partly because of prices and partly because of the way sort of the aspects of our hobby operate. But actually, I think it's a more open door than it has been in previous years, and I think that's a really positive thing for our industry. Certainly there are challenges, particularly around getting sort of younger people working for restoration firms and so on, but I think actually the general feeling was quite positive about the future of our industry, and it just shows that because we are an industry to be reckoned with, there are an awful lot of people with interest in making sure that our cars remain on the road for many years to come, decades even.
And James, what would you like to sort of see happening to strengthen the hobby sort of thing? Is there anything with regards to what you would like to see with the specialist restorers networks out there in particular?
It's interesting what David was saying about he got into his role now because of work experience, whereas I did work experience in my fifth year at a local Ford dealership. I thought I wanted to work on cars. I did 2 weeks there. I thought, I don't want to work on cars. So I went in a completely different direction. But at the time, I didn't realise I could have got a job working for a restoration company, because I didn't know that was out there. So I thought, well, if I like old cars, I'm just a bit of a weirdo. I'll do that on the side. But I think the fact that, to me, it felt like a bit of a closed industry. So the more people we can promote saying, look, come and get some experience with us, the better it would be for our scene. Because I think if it's to survive, we've got to get more younger people involved to show them actually it is interesting. It's not just, for want of a better word, sitting next to your car at a show with a deck chair. They are fun. You can have a lot of, interesting times. They can kind of almost become part of your soul, can't they? Part of your personality. You get different friend groups. So the more people we encourage into it at a younger age, the better it will be for us in the future.
Yeah, it's the idea of sort of normalizing the classic car hobby, for it not to seem unusual for youngsters to have old cars or to work on them. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. So we should start wrapping things up, but not before offering a quick promo as to what everyone can all expect in next week's issue, which is on sale June the 18th. Our lead feature marks 25 years since the announcement that car production would be ending at Ford's historic Dagenham factory. Our senior contributor Keith Adams explains how the news was received in period, why Ford took this controversial decision in the first place, and its lasting legacy. In the Hour Classic section, I give my account of the London to Brighton classic car run in my Mini, while the ever popular The Way We Were looks at the Hampshire market town of Romsey in 1956. David, thank you very much for joining us.
No, always a pleasure.
And James, you too.
Don't mention it.
And we look forward to bringing you another episode next week.